Hi, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of From Illumination to Innovation. Me and my co-host Shaniqua Brown are going to be recording from a new location today because we want to play with technology and do cool things. So I am Stephanie Crane, and I am one of your co-hosts. I am the corporate mystic and owner of Tapas Innovation. And I will turn it over to Shaniqua to introduce our show.
Yes, I am Shaniqua Brown, the founder and president of Elevated TA, the premier hiring partner for government agencies. And our show today, like, we are both thrilled to like kick off our, as Stephanie put it, our special generation series. And today we're diving deep into more about the generational divide and exploring like the impacts. And we want to have a more positive conversation about this divide and bringing, essentially bridging the gap, bringing us all together. And we're talking about the generations from a business, societal, and cultural perspective. And of course, it's Stephanie and I, so we're going to have a lot of fun along the way.
I think we both have so much to say about this subject. And I love that we also get to come at it from such different perspectives. And mm-hmm. I think that that's sort of what stimulated wanting to do this to begin with, is, you know, that we were sharing our own unique perspectives. We're both from different, you know, I'm a proud Gen X. and really do in many ways identify with sort of my generational identity, as it were, you know, but also knowing that generational identity is so generalized and sometimes can be real limiting for us. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I loved that we approached this conversation and wanted to just open it up.
Yeah. Well, hi, everyone. I'm a quintessential millennial. But Stephanie, I'm very curious about, because I think that we have like the same like goal in mind, but I think we were coming from maybe different perspectives. So would you be interested in sharing like your focus or what you were centering your ideas around talking about the generations?
Yeah. I think that it was the idea that while we might have different perspectives, they're really valuable. And mm-hmm. there's just so much influence out there that sort of divides us and maybe makes us, you know, like kind of judge each other or blame each other in different ways. And then we all lose out on this wisdom that we have to share with each other. And so mm-hmm. to me, the different perspectives is like the feature, not the bug. Like, it's like, that's what makes it so cool. You know, it's uh-huh. like, yes, you know, we have so much to talk about and learn from each other. But if we're constantly being sort of pulled this way and that by like media perspective or political or cultural or whatever it is that's telling us that we're so very different, so much so that in some ways we don't even know how to talk to each other anymore. And so mm-hmm. for me, that was a real big driver to just simply open up conversations. You know, yeah. I mean, what about you? Like, what was, you know, I know you had strong, passionate thoughts about this as well.
Well, I will say that hearing you talk about your perspective makes me realize we're a lot more alike than we are different. I just want to add to it, you know, with my education in interdisciplinary social science, I'm looking at it in the same way that you are and focusing on like social issues where we have in America, our elderly, they're outcasts from society. You know, they're most of them, if they're unhealthy, they're living in retirement or I think they're like assisted living facilities. So they're isolated from the rest of us. So we're missing that wisdom from them. And we have our youth who, as a millennial, I like to think that I had to grow up quickly. You know, I had to co-parent my siblings. And, mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's other youths, young people out there, or, you know, people that are now older that had to grow up early in their youth. Or now everyone's concerned about what school you're getting into. What are you doing after you graduate high school? So now our Absolutely. Kids are overwhelmed and lonely, you know, anxious and depressed. So what is going on? You know, like we isolate one another in these, and we grow up and we work and live and play in homogenous, little small homogenous pods. So I'm like looking at it like, you know, I guess I'm questioning like also why it is the way that it is, because it doesn't serve us. You know, we can see it does not serve us. And then I'm curious like how we can work together. And I think our conversation is doing just that, like asking how we can work together to rectify the situation. So that's what I'm
very
thinking.
Very much so. Oh, I think you're right on point. And I think in the vein of how it doesn't serve us, when we back away from just what's happening in the workplace, which is significant, what's happening in the workplace, from, you know, boomers are obviously retiring and moving out of that space, but they're still there. They're, you know, they're not done yet, and they have a lot to contribute. Gen Xers, you know, are really in that space of like kind of stepping into those leadership roles in a particular way, as are millennials, aging very much into the leadership space. You know, they're not kids anymore in the way that they have sort of been frozen in time in this like weird millennial space.
Forever teens.
Forever. And so, you know, it's like I had a conversation the other day with it was a previous employee. He worked for me, it's been over a decade now, you know, or right at a decade. It's been about a decade, right? And you know, it's like, I was thinking about it, I was like, I mean, he wasn't even a kid then. You know, it's like now, you know, he's got two kids, and he's like just moved into this wonderfully awesome senior position that, you know, it's just been great to watch him like grow into this role. But then, you know, when I'm talking to him, I'm like, he's 45. Like, what? I mean, of course he should be in this role. You know, it's like, so this is like that dichotomy of like what we're conditioned. Even when we know, like even in my own brain where I fully have like, you know, I don't carry that known bias, but the conditioning is always there of like having to remind myself like, wow, you know, this is, and so, yeah, I think it's important to just break through those biases, because they do impact how we communicate with each other and what we're hearing and what, you know, just how we perceive each other.
1000%. I think that is so funny that you're like, oh, you're in this role?
I'm like,
he's 45 with a mortgage.
I mean, it's ludicrous when you really like lay it out. But as we know, even through going through the audition process and talking to people, these are very real perspectives that people hold. Yes. You know, that these stereotypes and beliefs that they're really ingrained in us, you know, and we've really been conditioned in sometimes ways that even for me was surprising, you know, to sort of see some of the ways, you know, that people were, and I think everybody was like very genuine and very heartfelt too. So it's not even to say like, you know, there's an intentional negativity here, but it is a bias, and you know, we're very conditioned by these biases. So.
I will say I've been conditioned to the negative biases, because I was not surprised by any of the responses. I think I was surprised by the level of optimism and the interest of uniting, but I was not surprised by the you know, the bias of other generations, because I think with being a millennial is. Right now we're getting bullied by Gen Z, which it's kind of like heartbreaking, because I respect like their generation so much. And as a millennial who's been thinking about how can I center living as like a priority in life versus work, and, you know, like I feel like Gen X and baby boomers have centered work as like a core identity. And so when I see Gen Z, I see hope, and I'm optimistic about the future of work, not only for myself, but for the rest of us. I think about, wow, it would be great if, you know, our elders could actually retire and live and afford to live, but work if they like want to work, but not be forced to work to survive. You know, I think about like how that would be helpful, and then, you know, how it would create more of the kind of, relationship I had like with my family growing up, where like the intergenerational family dynamic where I lived with my grandparents and my parents and, you know, my siblings. And as kids, we kept our grandparents pretty, you know, full of life. And, you know, our parents were able to go out and actually work while, you know, my grandmother stayed at home and cooked and, you know, took care of us. And we were able to just go explore as kids, right? And I think about how kids now, like I look at some of my friends who have families, young families, and they are stressed out because they're working and having to pay, like someone is paying like $1,500 a week for childcare.
And I'm, you know, the concept of it takes a village is really truly a generational concept. And that is something that socially we've really missed out on, because that village wasn't like, I mean, yes, it is the community, but really that village was your family of generational, your, just like you described, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the, all of these different people that, and we're so dispersed, not dispersed. Just really divided, but dispersed, you know, where, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, my parents, you know, my mom lives in Texas and my dad lives in another state, you know, I have mm-hmm. close family members all over the country, you know, and so that element, like when I was a kid, you know, when we think about like generational nostalgia, a nostalgic thing for me were family reunions.
Oh my
we
gosh.
We had them. I mean,
I
like
miss family
every
reunions.
Summer, like people I didn't even know, but I knew them every summer, at least for one whole Sunday and a whole bunch of good food. I knew those, you know, second cousins, and it mattered, and it let you see sort of like the expansion of your identity in a way, like, I belong in this group in a way. And then it's like something that we just don't get anymore. Like, I don't think I could make it happen if I tried. I wouldn't even know like how to bring the entire group together.
How? Everyone's working. And then you have like, if people didn't have work as a barrier, right? Then we would be back at square one, where you have the elders that feel like the younger generations are entitled and they don't know their elbow from their kneecap. And then you have the younger generations who feel like the elders are just stodgy and set in their ways. And I think both are true. I think both are right, you know? And we are leading a change in saying, okay, both can be true. Now what? You know?
Absolutely.
Going back to what you said earlier, you mentioned that like during our casting call, we had a lot of interesting, we had a lot of people, one, engage in our casting call, but then two, the auditions were so much fun. And like I said, we had some interesting responses. What was like the most like interesting response or something that like caught, like took you back a bit?
Took me back a bit. there were two things. One, I'll speak to one thing first, and then end on the second one to follow up with. But the first one was the Gen Zers. To your point of what you were saying earlier, for me, they were a joyful surprise. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, I think the negative stereotypes of generations, for me, they seem to be sort of the least conditioned, which might make sense because of their age or what have you. But also it seemed like they sort of seemed to embrace things like nostalgia more, or things that might tie to other generations more. And I found that to be really surprising and very hope inspiring for me. One thing that to me came up, I think in the response forms, it came up more than once. And this for me was kind of surprising. We asked a question related to how generations, you know, was a good or a bad thing to have like diverse generations in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And there was more than one response that sort of alluded to the fact that it was maybe a distraction or sometimes problematic. And I think that that's something that I'd like to dig into more and understand where, you know, are these challenges that are challenges that can be resolved through maybe like a better understanding of each other and how we work together, or are these issues of being conditioned and sort of projecting your own experience onto the generations that you're working with. So that was something that I'm curious about it, I guess. That's what I would say. I'm very curious about it.
That is very interesting because there's an article by Harvard Business Review. I think it's called Why We Need Intergenerational Friendships at Work. I think that's it. But the author essentially highlights how it's a competitive advantage to have multiple generations working together, not only on the same team, but on a project, because they can problem solve like that. Because think about it, you have the wisdom of the elders. They've been around the block. They know the client. They know exactly how the product works, because they've been selling this product forever, what have you. But you need innovation to solve problems, so that's why having a youth there, they can they don't have the bias of wisdom, right? It's a whole new problem for them. It's a new challenge for them. So they can see things that wisdom will often cast a shadow over. So like you, I'm also curious as to what are the actual dynamics that makes it disruptive in those individuals' workplaces? Is it something they don't have the time to upskill the younger person? Some folks I find younger people enjoy talking more, asking more questions. So maybe that could be an issue, but that also goes back to time. Is it, some people feeling repressive, so they're acting out? I'm curious about what exactly is happening, because HBR is saying that companies that have multiple generations working together see more success.
In my experience, that is 100% true, anecdotally speaking. And anytime I've been in an environment where there has been a diversity of generation, it's all aspects of the work, when the environment itself is healthy, this is really key, but all aspects of the work become more informed, become more invigorated, richer, and on every level. And it's interesting when I'm in environments where my experience with whatever generational group I'm in, many times I've been, sort of the oldest person on my team, literally even older than my boss, where when I say I'm the oldest, I am the oldest person on my team. And it's just the way it is. And that's perfectly fine. I don't mind showing up that way, but I also don't show up that way in the context of, I guess I'm not labeling us all by our ages, right? That's sort of one of the least important aspects of our work together. It's more what are we bringing to the table and our ideals and how we're showing up as people and all of those things. And so I'm always suspect of people when they tell me, when they have some blanket statement about a generation, or, when I was really heavily in leadership, it was when millennials were coming into the workforce. So at that time, as you know, there was literal vitriol, so much so that I actually wrote a paper on it. It made me so angry. I wrote a blog post on it, and was just, and because so many people would just openly, say oh, the millennials are so needy, or they ask too many questions, or, they can't, and they would say these things. And I'm like, really, that's interesting, because I find them to be curious, not needy. And I find them just wanting to understand, how they're using their time and why, as opposed to just blindly following orders with no understanding of how it impacts. And so I don't see these as bad things, right? I'm like, answer the question. And I think most people were just jealous because they couldn't ask those questions. That's what I think. I think they got angry.
You hit the nail on the head, because I think that there's some shadow side of human nature where you, the use of entitlement, I think, wow, someone saying that they want time off, they want work, life-work balance is entitlement. That is wild. I think that you're, you said, upset, angry that this person, group of people had the audacity to say, hey, we don't like that. I would like this instead. So but I think that is what Darwin is all was talking about. Like that is like evolution. And I think
Absolutely.
That we should rejoice when each generation has it better than what we had.
That should be the goal.
Right?
That should
because
be
like
the goal.
And I think that will also eliminate like some of like the grief that the older generations have about like the youth not knowing. Like I shared this with you, I think that my youngest brother, he's Gen Z, and he was sharing with me like how Gen Z does a really good job protesting and how like they're the generation that protests. And I just thought, wow, there's so many other generations that protest. And at protest, there's not just one group, like one demographic of people. Protest is usually like a team effort. So it's,
there's
you
a
know,
lot of people.
There's a lot of people there. And I think people that share that same vision will walk alongside you. I digress. But I think one of the annoyances that the older generations see is like those kind of instances where like, oh, well, we, the youth, we're leading this. But I think if we focus on creating and talking about how we can get better with each generation, then they wouldn't feel the need to say those things. And I think it's really like the older generation is demanding respect and the younger generations are asking for respect. They're like, hey, these are the things that we're doing. Can you please respect us and stop like being mean towards us? And I think that's what my brother was saying. Like, hey, I'm not entitled.
Yeah.
Look at all the things that I'm doing. And I respect that. Like I respect him and all the other young people, Gen Alpha, everyone that's coming after us. And then even before us for making changes and advancements. And I think that we should just all stop and realize that we all want the same thing. And I think that's like, you know, the societal perspective of like the generational divisiveness.
I really, a lot of times when people just, I mean, I do spend a lot of time defending younger generations to Gen X and up, frankly. And because again, the statements are usually so, they're just thoughtless in the content of, I will often ask, like, how much time do you spend with other generations? Like, where are you getting this perspective from?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really your experience or is this the experience that you're told you're going to have?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's worth exploring because there, I don't, again, to our point, like we are dispersed in many ways, not just by distance, but also we're segregated in many ways, you know,
mm-hmm.
and culturally speaking, it is hard for us to, you know, connect outside of, frankly, any of our groups, right? Like any,
mm-hmm.
any of our demographics that we have push us apart. And
yeah.
So I think it is a challenge that people just simply don't have the experience. So they go on what they're told.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always good, right? That's usually not good at all.
then your brain turns into mush because you're stagnant, you know? And I think that's sometimes we get comfortable and not interested in a challenge. So I think that it's just like challenging our own norms and beliefs. Every Sunday, my family, we have this weekly Zoom call, and I shared with them our generation series, and there was so much excitement, and I highlighted, you know, the my focus and what I thought about it, and the elders in my family really just stuck their claws into the elders having wisdom. Like, yes, we have wisdom, and that's all they kept repeating. And you should listen to this and X, Y, and Z. And I had to remind them that I said that, you know, the youth brings about change. So what mm-hmm. is it like, where do you think that we could, you know, see a change that would be beneficial to us all? And it went back to like their ideology. And one of my cousins like shared something that they wanted to see change. And, you know, it was like a friction because they're like, whoa, 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 that's not bad. Like, this is like, you should do it this way because it's always been done that way. So I think being open to change will allow both sides of the coin to like come together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about your thoughts on before we transition to the to talking about our Jeopardy game. I'm curious about your thoughts around the question that we asked our contestants about, like, how often they spend time with other generations. Like, was there anyone that was as cross-pollinated amongst generations as you'd hope or would like to see?
I think there were definitely some people that were very, like, cross-generational in their response. But I'll be honest that I felt like there were more people that really did seem sort of limited in their mm-hmm. access to other generations. And so, you know, again, it reinforced for me why we're doing what we're doing, you know, because mm-hmm. it is important. It's a random thing. You know, I had a daughter young. So I had a daughter when I was 20. So she is a millennial. She's 33. And I don't give advice often, but I, you know, when I have, like, my stored piece of parent advice, if somebody ever says you have parental advice, it's my one piece mm-hmm. of advice, but I'm not expanding it to the whole wide world. My one piece of advice that I always give to parents is you can plan all you want to be a good parent and what you're going to teach your child, but you never know what your child is brought here to teach you. So mm-hmm. make sure that you are open to receive that lesson as well, because I assure mm-hmm. you, they will teach it to you whether you are open to it or not. And I think mm-hmm. that is something generationally, like, as elders, that we should all feel for the younger generation. We have a lot to convey to them, and that is wonderful, but they have something to teach us. And if we aren't receptive to that, we are the ones that will miss out on that. And that is right. sad. And so we need to open our minds and not be so scared and be willing to, like, take that risk and approach somebody and ask them a question about who they are, or, you know, what, just be interested in them to learn. And I just feel like more people would be so rewarded. We all would be rewarded by that.
Stephanie, that was profound wisdom. I am taking that all in. That was beautifully said, Stephanie. Oh my gosh. Let's take a quick break and when we come back, we'll discuss the fun part of our Generation Jeopardy. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss how we're going to move forward with the clash of the generations. Just kidding. We're here to have a good old family fun game of Generation Jeopardy.
I like saying that we're going to figure out which generation's in the most jeopardy.
Well, which generation's in the most jeopardy? That's hilarious. Ooh, Stephanie, well, I just want to tell everyone that Stephanie is the mastermind behind our generational Jeopardy game. I added a few questions, but Stephanie really, like, built this from the ground up. So when you watch this, when you watch our generational, our Jeopardy games that are coming up next, following this episode, you will be wowed and impressed. So Stephanie, what was your favorite categories of the game?
Oh my gosh, we have such great categories.
No, they were so witty, buddy.
I love to acknowledge compliments. So thank you very much, Shaniqua, for that wonderful compliment. But I do want to say that our categories were very brainstormed together and they are awesome. Okay.
So good.
Totally came up with them. You know, I think we have some, like, classic categories like gatekeepers, which, you know, something that I think we should all be thinking about. I liked the generational trauma too. I thought that that was a powerful category that kind of resonated mm-hmm. with everybody. And then we have some fun ones. So we had a couple, like, of course we had Fantastic. So
the Fantastic was great. Just a quirky catch-all I think they were really, really good. You know, one of my favorite ones, you did your thing with the social justice.
Oh,
that category was amazing.
It was.
That was
I actually, I liked Emoji Talk also because I learned.
Okay, the Emoji Talk. I just want everyone to know that I find it very like funny whenever like trying to figure out like the emojis to use. I'm a thumbs up person, and I found out that my friends thought I was being very condescending. I stopped using that, but and stopped texting altogether. However, I don't know if you're ever gonna show anyone else besides me the eggplant marketing. Oh my gosh, but I feel like the eggplant had everyone, like Gen X and baby boomers and a silent generation in a chokehold. Like y'all were just using the eggplant very innocently, and I don't understand why.
And
y'all
the
were
peach
using
and the peach. And the peach. We just
the
like
eggplant
we
and the peach.
We're home cooks. Okay.
How many eggplants and peaches were y'all consuming?
Let me actually tell you, first of all, and this is, okay, now we are based in Central Texas. I don't know how many people know that, but eggplants and peaches grow really well here.
Oh, I need to come by. I need some peaches.
So, it was lost on us. We did not necessarily, and for someone, honestly, I'm going to take a hit on this. Like, I actually specialize and have a level of expertise in symbolism. So it did upset me that it took me a minute to catch up with that. But let me assure y'all, this was a long time ago minute. Okay, I've known about the eggplant for a while. But the learning moment for me was the thumbs up. And, you know, recognizing like, oh, you know, again, this language, this is a language. It is ever evolving like all languages do. And it's, you know, again, something. And so this is all the boomers and Gen Xers out there. You can go search emoji current dictionary, okay? Like, and like, or even things like how does Gen Z use emoji? And you too can learn this language. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a shout out to Gen Z. You can also learn cursive, okay? So this is, I'm just saying, we can have crossover here.
Tell her you can learn cursive. They're like, what? I will
gonna
say,
become
like,
a secret language soon.
It will be. I do that now to my brother when I don't want him to know something. I'm writing it, and that's my brother's. They stopped teaching cursive like very early. But I was gonna share. Like, I think, like you were saying, it's evolving language, and it's like there's different dialects in texting. Like my millennial friend group and I, we text like we're back on AIM. It's a lot of like short to the quick, like lots of acronyms, emojis. My youngest brother does not like to use emojis. He will like react to a text message. He won't respond to a text message. And so I feel like it's like different dialects across groups. My mom, texting is like, she's texting as she is talking to you. So that's like a different thing. And it's a novel. And I have to tell her texting etiquette is not a novel. That's a phone call.
Yeah.
So it's like and like you said, like we shouldn't get upset. It's just like when you travel to another country, another part of the country, you speak the dialect or you speak the language and you figure it out.
At least you try to participate and understand it as much as you can. And so that should be the mindset. We should always be in this sort of curious learning mindset about what we can learn about each other. Instead of, you know, because I think, you know, most people do get upset when they feel like they're, you know, they feel like they are ignorant or they don't know something or it makes them uncomfortable. And so the easy route is to just, you know, project like negativity about, oh, well, I don't need to know that, or that's whatever, that's not important, or that's stupid, or whatever, to like project onto it. But really, it's like, don't worry about that you don't know, just be more curious about learning. And you'll just naturally, you know, and every now and then you might do something like put a giant eggplant on a marketing campaign and have your millennial team look at you like, what are you doing? We can't promote sexuality through marketing. And you
sexual
look at them
innuendos.
Like, what are you talking about?
What is sexual about an eggplant?
It's a true story, you know, that it really happened. But you know, it was learning. I learned. I was glad to be educated. Happy to be educated.
You did learn. You did learn. That was, oh my gosh. I'm so
you know,
glad
the campaign
that
turned out beautifully once we got through the kinks. The kinky. I'm sorry.
That was a good one. Oh my gosh. She's here all night, folks. Oh my gosh. That was amazing.
It's terrible. Wow. Like I'm blushing. It totally makes me blush.
So Stephanie and I can talk to each other all night, all day, but we want to tell you about our upcoming episodes, what you can expect next from Fitty Vodcast. So our next episode is going to be Jeopardy against the baby boomers and the millennials. Stephanie, who do you think is going to take this one?
You know, it's going to be tough, I think. Honestly, it's like I've gone back and forth with all of these generations, but I want to say that boomers are going to show up strong, but my gut tells me that millennials are going to own that. Okay, that's my feeling. I could be wrong, though. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I feel like boomers are really going to show up strong. So
I feel I'm with you on that. I think the boomers, like our boomer contestants that we've interviewed, we auditioned, they were really strong. They were awesome. Snazzy, excited to be there. So let's see if the millennials have what it takes. And the next episode will be Gen Z versus Gen X. Did I say that in the right
Well, you know who I'm rooting for. I mean, I'm gonna go with my bias here.
Gen X,
go X.
As every millennial that has possibly told you, I wish I was Gen X too sometimes. It's amazing.
Oh, you know, it's no lie that the Gen Xers, we do think that we're the coolest generation. I mean, it's part of our identity code.
Yeah. I wish I were an adult in the 90s. Oh, I wanted to be a club kid so bad. I was too young.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, I loved being an adult in the 90s. I was 20 to 30 from 90 to 2000. And I met the actual club kids. I really had those experiences and it was freaking fantastic. I really have real nostalgia about the 90s. But you know, the 90s, they have their own dark side, and that's real too. And so, you know, we could certainly, that could be a whole, that right there, we could do a whole topic on this decade and talk about kind of their shadow and their light.
Oh my gosh, that took us forever. I would be interested in that. Well, I think we should tell everyone about our contestants. Representing the baby boomers, we have Ted, the retired pilot. Woo!
He is amazing too. Oh my God. Did Ted bring the energy? And he's got some great stories. Oh my gosh.
He does. He does. We, for the millennials, we have Victoria. She's a trust and vulnerability coach, and Ted and Victoria will face off in the first episode.
So exciting.
And for Gen X, Gen X is represented by Ed. He's an IT extraordinaire. Ed, go Ed, go Ed.
He's up, Ed. Ed's the man.
And Ed is going to be facing off with our Gen Z contender, Chloe Fiona. She's a dancer. She's an artist. She's a grad student. Chloe.
And I think it's important to know that it's Chloe Fiona or Chloe or Fiona. I like that. I like options. I like somebody who's got versatility.
He has options. And I'm really excited to see like everyone. I'm curious about our audience's votes on who's going to win what. Who's going to meet in the finale and face off and ultimately be the generation in Jeopardy.
Right. Our third episode of the will be the finale, and we will be bringing the winners of the first and second games together. And so definitely, audience, throw your votes in and let us know who you think what generation is in the most Jeopardy. going back to where we started.
I'm really, really enjoying this one. Has been such a fun series to create. I mean, it's been possibly the most work that we've had to do in the least amount of time, but the most fun for sure.
Really pushed our creative energy and definitely lets me know that like the sky is literally the limit for us. And I don't even think that's a limit, honestly. Like, this is so exciting. I can't wait to see the games. Oh my gosh.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, Stephanie, do you have any finding like final takeaways or thoughts?
My final takeaway is just to really, for me personally, just to keep putting myself out there and making those connections and modeling and teaching other people that it's okay to do it, to really connect with these other generations and stay open-minded. See what you learn about yourself. It's been such an incredible experience getting to meet and talk to so many different people. And for me, way, way more positive than anything, just very inspirational and positive. So what about you?
I feel that one of my favorite cross-generational friendships is with you and been like stretching and growing together. And I think that like removing the fear, because I think we're all just a little afraid, help us like just come together. So I remain very optimistic about our future and breaking this ridiculous silly little cycle where we can all come together singing Kumbaya or whatever our song will be. You know, it doesn't have to be Kumbaya, maybe that's the old thing, maybe something new. So
absolutely, oh my god, absolutely, so much. Well, this has been great. I'm so excited for our work together. And you know what, generationally, we are a gift to each other, like for sure. We are fortunate. Yes. So I guess for our audience, they posted, we expect to see you at the show.
We'll see you at the show. Leave in the comments who you think it will come out on top as the winner. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you prefer audio, you can listen to our podcast on whatever platform you like. And until next time, I hope you innovate and illuminate.
Absolutely. Let's all get together and vibrate higher. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our show. Show us your support by following us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
You can also find us on Castus at fromillumination2innovation.castus.com. If you love our show, share it with your friends and coworkers too. Let's all work together to help businesses vibrate higher.